It's the record at 12:09. Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella is in trouble for those remarks he made yesterday. He was talking to a group at a Women in Computing conference. Then someone asked a question about how women should ask for raises.
A raise, but knowing and having faith that the system will actually give you the right raises as you go along. And that, I think, might be one of the additional superpowers that, quite frankly, women who don't ask for a raise have. Because that's good karma. It'll come back.
We clipped the beginning. He said, it's not really about asking for the raise. Eyebrows were raised. Nadella later apologized over Twitter and an email to employees. But the question remains, if faith in the system doesn't get you more pay, maybe asking does, but how should you ask for a raise? Sarah Lashever is the co-author with Linda Babcock of Women Don't Ask, The High Cost of Avoiding Negotiation and Positive Strategies for Change. Sarah, how do you respond to Nadella's remarks?
Well, he's obviously fantastically naive or very unselfconscious about his own preferences for women's behavior. He'd preferred if women were just nice and hardworking and waited to be given whatever somebody else thinks they deserve. Or maybe he's an evil chauvinist. I hope not. Knows that giving this advice to women will deter a lot of them, particularly in his enormous organization, Microsoft. I guess I'm going to prefer to think that it's somewhere in the middle there, that he doesn't understand the social science, which is very clear, that there's so many subconscious biases that work against women, that women don't get the rewards that they earn and deserve unless they ask. And in fact, men also need to ask, but men know that, and it's more permissible for men to ask, to raise their hand, say, I'm ready to do the next thing, I'm ready for promotion, or I've, you know, achieved this great accomplishment for the company, and I think I deserve a little bit of financial reward for that. Men do it too. They know they have to hustle, but we're a little more comfortable when men do that than we are when women do.
It could be a difficult conversation to ask for a raise, and you've done some research into what happens when women do that. What happens?
Well, when women ask for money, it's considered typically a kind of an aggressive gesture, an aggressive act, and we as a culture don't like women when we perceive they're behaving too aggressively. So, as a rule, both men and women expect women who are negotiating for themselves to concede more and accept less. So we push back harder against women when they negotiate for money, when they negotiate for anything, but particularly for money. And money is not identified or equivalent to womanhood, femaleness, in the way that we do equate it with masculinity. And so it's going against our social norms when women ask for more money. That doesn't mean you can't do it, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It actually means you should. It's really about the style, the way in which you ask. For women to be influential or persuasive in many realms, but particularly in this realm, they need to be perceived as likable. So it's not enough to make a good argument, present all the data, marshal the documents to lay out what you've done and demonstrate that you deserve what you're asking for. You need to do it in a way that doesn't come across as threatening or demanding. So you need to use those social skills to come across as likable, upbeat, cheerful, non-threatening. And that can actually lead to much more success for women.
How can women do that without feeling as though they're putting on a false face, being likable?
Well, there are two things. One is how to feel more comfortable in the moment. And a good way to get more comfortable is to practice beforehand. Get together with a friend or a colleague you trust, brief them thoroughly about the negotiation, then play it through a few times and practice calm, composed responses that move things away from anything that feels like it's leading towards conflict or towards a more competitive tone. And move it more towards joint problem solving. I have, you know, skills and talents, abilities, potential that you need. You have some things I need. Let's talk about it. Let's work out a way that we can both be happy and be better off. So the first thing is how to feel more comfortable in the moment, and the other is how to feel more comfortable doing it philosophically, not feeling like it's a betrayal of your feminist principles or it's a big step backward, both of which it kind of is. But if you think of it as strategic, you're doing it because it will get you the goal that you have convinced yourself you completely deserve, and it's making it possible for the person or the people on the other side of the table to hear the justice of what you're asking for. Because if you come across as threatening or overbearing, that can make it hard for them to actually objectively evaluate what you're asking for.
Now, when it comes to asking for a raise or asking for an increase in benefits, sometimes it's not a simple yes or no answer. It's a negotiation. What advice do you have for women about going about that negotiation without being perceived as overly confrontational?
Well, first of all, be very prepared. Do your research. Find out what other people at your level with your skills and credentials are getting, not just in your own organization, but in your organization's competitors or peer institutions, and even in allied industries where you might be employed. So you're well armed with the data, so you feel completely comfortable and entitled to what you're asking for. Women suffer typically from a lower sense of entitlement than men do. When women don't do the research, A, they tend to ask for too little, but they also feel insecure and they don't present the request as simply and directly and confidently. I mentioned the role playing, how important that is. There are also some behavioral things you can do. We all know that when we're in a bad mood, if we get stuck in traffic or we have a fight with our significant other or we fly in for an interview and they lose our luggage, you go into a meeting, into a negotiation in a bad mood, that's going to affect how you perform. Negative moods are contagious. But the good news is so are positive moods. So think about what makes you feel relaxed and cheerful and try to schedule your negotiation so you can do that beforehand. So if endorphins work for you, schedule it so you can go for a run beforehand or a swim, or maybe you like yoga or meditating. Some people think pouring a complex piece of classical music or a very joyful piece of popular music into their heads right beforehand can make them kind of relax.
Or who knows, maybe the Runaways will get you going in the right direction. Sarah,
exactly.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Sarah Lashover is the co-author with Linda Babcock of Women Don't Ask, The High Cost of Avoiding Negotiation and Positive Strategies for Change. And as you might imagine, there is a lively discussion about Satya Nadella's remarks about waiting for karma rather than asking for a raise. You can read about it at our Facebook page. Mikkel Grenzer wrote, I assume that Nadella simply waited around quietly until someone recognized his hard work and made him CEO, right? Join in. We'd like to hear what you have to say. It's The Record on KUOW.